If you have a teenager at home, you might find yourself occasionally wondering, is this kid just moody or is he really struggling? This can be a tough thing to tell sometimes, and it's a question that parents are asking themselves as more and more kids deal with serious mental health issues after the pandemic. But if you want to help your kids, research suggests parents and caregivers might want to take a look at themselves and their own mental health. Richard Weisbord is faculty director of the Making Caring Common Project at Harvard's Graduate School of Education. He joins us now. Welcome. It's good to speak with you.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
And why don't we start with that question that I just posed there at the top. Is my kid a typical hormonal teenager who's trying to navigate this new body and this electrifying idea of becoming an adult? Or is something deeper going on? How do we know?
Well, I think you're right to point out that a lot of teenagers are under stress. It's perfectly normal. A lot of us are under stress during these times, and it can be easy to confuse normal stress and normal anxiety with more serious anxiety and depression. But depression and anxiety, real depression and anxiety, you know, tend to have pretty defined symptoms. You know, when kids are depressed, they're often not eating well, they're not sleeping well, they're withdrawing from social activities. It can be really moody and really irritable in a way that's very different than normal moodiness and irritability. Very normal for teens to be distracted, but when they seem consistently distracted and down, it's at least time to be curious and to engage them in understanding, you know, what's going on and how they're doing.
Your research explores this link between kids' mental health and parents. And you found that while the kids are having a hard time, we know that, right? So are their parents. Tell me more.
Well, you know, one of the things that's been, you know, in some ways odd about this discussion about the teen mental health crisis is that young adults in our research are doing, you know, in a sense, twice as bad or twice as concerning as teens. Their rates of depression and anxiety are twice the rates of teens. And parents are suffering anxiety, depression, about the same rate as teens. So we would be just as right to sound the alarm about a parent or caregiver mental health crisis than about a teen mental health crisis. And, you know, a depressed teen, a depressed parent can set each other off in all kinds of ways. They can, you know, a depressed teen can withdraw, which can make a parent feel unloved, which can make a parent more depressed, vice versa. And at the same time, a depressed parent, anxious parent, you know, often has a lot of wisdom and anxiety about anxiety and depression that they can share with their teens. So, you know, we're worried about a lot of things that can go wrong when both a parent and teen are anxious and depressed. And we're trying to move things in a direction where parents and teens can actually be helpful to each other in these situations.
Let's talk more about that. But first, I want to dig into this idea that the two may be connected, parents and kids, because I know that, you know, in my house, when my teenager is suffering, the entire family suffers, right? It's this tough, tough cycle to get out of.
Yeah. 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 No, these can be really tough cycles to get out of. And, you know, for parents, you know, our well-being is often so tied to how well our kids are doing. So when a kid is doing really well, and if you're a parent who's already vulnerable to anxiety and depression, you may feel anxiety, anxious and depressed. And when you're anxious and depressed, it's harder to be emotionally available to your teen and patient and steady in the way that teens often really need. So that's how these negative cycles can start. And that's why it's so important to break these cycles early.
40% of the teenagers that you surveyed say that they wanted their parents to reach out more and just to ask, how are they doing? How are you really doing? To listen to them. And I was surprised that that number was so high, that parents weren't already doing that. And so I wonder, what's keeping parents from listening to their kids?
You know, I think it's a couple of things. And, you know, just to add to the data that you just shared, when teens are not anxious or depressed, they're more likely to go to their parents for advice or help than their friends. But our data show that when teens are anxious and depressed, they're more likely to go to their friends than to their parents. And I think one of the reasons is that, you know, sometimes when a teen is worried that a parent is depressed and they don't want to burden their parents, I think sometimes they're worried that their parents will be, if they come with a concern, their parents will be really upset or anxious in ways that won't be constructive. You know, one of the things we find in our data is that teens perceive their parents as very focused on achievement. And I think sometimes teens worry that parents will feel like when they're anxious or depressed, it's going to undermine their achievement, and that's going to, parents are going to respond more in terms of achievement than in terms of really understanding what a teen is going through and trying to be helpful.
Yeah. You know, plus when there's issues of anxiety or depression, that can show itself through anger or distance or sadness, making it even harder to stay connected and to listen or to be attuned to your kid. I mean, how can parents do a better job listening, do you think?
You know, I think it's important for parents to recognize that even when they are anxious and depressed, they've often learned a lot, have developed coping strategies. They have a lot to provide to their kids, even in those situations. And, you know, I think part of this is that parents don't have confidence that they can be helpful to their kids when I think they can be helpful to their kids. I also think that parents are often themselves isolated, and that isolation is a significant cause of anxiety and depression. And that when parents are able to maintain strong relationships with their partners, with friends outside their families, when they have sufficient support, they're far more likely to be emotionally available to their kids and able to listen and connect to their kids.
Is it a good idea for parents to be upfront about their own mental health challenges with their kids, or do you think that would cause more worry and more burden for the children?
You know, generally, and you know, this is Bill Beardsley's research, it can be enormously helpful for parents when they are experiencing a significant depression, for example, to say to their kid, I am experiencing a significant depression. And the reason is that kids often blame themselves, that, you know, when you are depressed, you often withdraw, you're often moody, you become angry very suddenly in ways that are frightening to a kid. And kids think there's something wrong with them. And when a parent can say, this isn't about you, this is about something I'm experiencing, it can provide, you know, enormous relief to a teen, and it can make the world make sense again. That doesn't mean that parents should be, you know, talking a lot about their depression, anxiety, and expecting their kids to be in a therapeutic role with them or burdening their kids with them. It's important when parents do talk about depression, anxiety with their kids, that they also convey that they're managing it, that they're doing something about it to get help, because it can be, you know, frightening for a kid to think that a parent's depression, anxiety might, you know, spiral out of control in some way.
I want to end by going back to the root causes of some of these challenges. You know, we've been talking about this problem with kids who've gone through all sorts of hardships during the pandemic, but you know, I assume you've been looking at this issue for much longer than that, or just the past few years. What do you think is, what's going on here?
I think there are a lot of things going on, and they differ by race and culture and class. That what's going on with affluent kids is really different than what's going on with low-income kids in many respects. That, you know, in many middle and upper class communities, I do worry about achievement pressure becoming so excessive. And when we ask teens, you know, we give them a list of things that might be negatively influencing their mental health, achievement pressure comes up number one, and the amount of stress. And we also find that teens are lonely, and we find that teens feel like they have little or no meaning or purpose in their life. You know, about 30% or a third feel like they have little or no meaning or purpose in their life. You know, I think the loss of faith-based communities, religion, so many fewer people are observing, is concerning in many ways. I'm not suggesting that people should suddenly become more religious, but, you know, religion...
It's the community, though. Isn't it the community absence that you're really referring to?
The community is really important. And the sense of purpose and meaning that faith-based communities can provide. There are structures in religious communities for dealing with trauma and grief and loss that can be very important to teens. So again, my point is not that we should suddenly become more religious. My point is we have to think about how to reproduce those aspects of religion in secular life.
Richard Weisbord is the faculty director of the Making Caring Common Project at Harvard's Graduate School of Education. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been great to be here.